Judas' greatest plunge to disaster was not betraying Jesus. After committing this great and awful and terrible sin, Judas gave up hope. And I want to suggest to you from the Bible today that that was his greatest plunge to disaster.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think that's an important point for us to pick up on, because I think a lot of people may think, Judas betrayed Jesus. Does it get any worse than that?
Well, that was his great sin, but of course it was not his ultimate sin. Yeah. The ultimate sin is to remain at a distance from Jesus Christ. That's the only position in which there is no hope, and that is why Judas is such a tragic figure. So what I want to say to the person listening today who has done a terrible thing, and you say, oh, I have blown it, I've done the worst imaginable thing, do not make your situation worse by despair. You put yourself in the position of looking to Jesus Christ, because the worst thing that you can do is to follow what you've already done by giving up hope on him. There is hope in him, and there is hope for you today, whatever you have done. And that's at the heart of our program.
Well, let's get into that program here. We're in Matthew chapter 27 as we continue a message entitled Never Give Up Hope. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, if you have your Bibles open at Matthew 27, we'll follow the story. Early in the morning, this is the morning of the day that Jesus was crucified, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision that they would put Jesus to death. They bound him and they led him away and they handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then in Matthew 27, we're told this. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver. Now he does some very good things. Notice verse 4. He makes a remarkable confession of his own responsibility. Unqualified. He comes to the chief priests and he says, verse 4, I have sinned. That's an extraordinary, straight up, I'll take the ownership kind of a confession. There's no dodging, no weaving here. There are no excuses here. It can't be straighter than this. I have sinned. I have betrayed innocent blood. This is a full and frank confession. You could not ask more at this point. He says, I'm plain guilty. And notice that he says that Jesus is innocent. He wants to save Jesus. His idea at this point is that if he returns the money, maybe the legal process can be thrown into reverse. Maybe if he will testify as the one who betrayed that Jesus is actually innocent and that the other witnesses who've come forward are false, maybe there will be a stay of execution on this day. I've sinned. Maybe now there's something that I can do to put it right. And of course, the chief priests aren't interested. What is that to us, they reply. It's your responsibility. Too late now, Judas, they say. The deed is done. You may wish you could turn the clock back, but you can't. What will be. You've made your choice. You have to live with it. There's nothing you can do about it now. You can almost hear the echoes of the devil himself in these kinds of words. So now despair comes sweeping over this desperate man. He knows that he's committed a terrible crime. He cannot now do anything about it. It cannot be undone. And he feels that he cannot live with himself any longer. And so we're told, verse 5, he threw the money into the temple and he left. And he went away and he hanged himself. Now, that is the greatest tragedy of his life. Now, I want you to hear me very carefully at this moment. It was not that he betrayed Jesus. It was not even that he took his own life. It was that he gave up hope. He gave up hope. And there is no greater tragedy for a man or for a woman than that. This is the ultimate plunge to disaster for a man or for a woman who feels despair threatening against them to give up hope. Don't ever go there. Now let me tell you another story. Because Judas was not the only man in the darkness of despair that day. You see, the previous night, as we read earlier, Peter had been standing by the house of the high priest where Jesus had been taken, and inside Jesus was being mocked, interrogated, and tortured. And Peter's standing outside, and he's dead scared that if he's identified as one of Jesus' followers, he might be taken inside and get the same. And so he's asked on three different occasions if he's a follower of Jesus, and on each of these occasions he says no, and with ever increasing strength, until in the end we're told he called down curses on himself and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." At that moment, Luke tells us, Jesus, having been bruised and punched by fists when he was blindfolded there in the house of the high priest, Jesus is dragged out across the courtyard, and Jesus looks at Peter, and the cock crows. That look in the eyes of Jesus must have drilled depths of sadness into Peter. And we read that he went outside and he wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. And so on the day that Jesus died, the following morning, there were two men surrounded by darkness, Judas, who betrayed him, and Peter, who denied him. Two men who'd taken a plunge to disaster. But there was a great difference between them. Judas was filled with remorse. Peter found repentance. You say, what's the difference? Big difference. Remorse looks inside and it simply says, I've wasted my life. Repentance looks to Christ and it says, I'll give you my life. Judas was sorry, but he was not repentant. You see, repentance is more than being sorry. Repentance is more than saying, I'm guilty, I did it. It's more than wishing, as Judas did, that you could go back and undo what you did. Repentance is, in your great sorrow, turning to Jesus Christ. And that's where hope is found. And the tragedy of Judas' life, the greatest tragedy, is that he did not find that hope. Paul speaks about the distinction between remorse and repentance in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7:10. He describes it this way. He says, godly sorrow that brings repentance and leads to salvation leaves no regret. But then he speaks about remorse and describes it in this way. He speaks about a worldly sorrow. That's what remorse is, that leads only to death. You know, when you have done something that is terribly wrong, don't wallow in despair. Don't allow yourself to be overcome by self-condemnation. That's the ultimate plunge to disaster, to give up on hope. Now, repentance means taking ownership of what I have done, but then turning to Jesus Christ, in whom I find hope for the future. And that's the difference between Peter and Judas. That's the tragedy of Judas' life. Peter repented. Judas despaired.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Never Give Up Hope. We're taking a look at the story of Judas today and how he did take the ultimate plunge to disaster. Our series is called Deck Chairs and the Titanic, and we've been looking at a number of different Bible characters who did end up taking a plunge to disaster, pulling out lessons that we can learn and apply to our lives so we don't make the same mistakes. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can always come to our website and listen online. Just come to unlockingthebible.org. Or in Matthew chapters 26 and 27 today. So let's get back to it. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
Peter repented. Judas despaired. And the incredible thing is, of course, that 2 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And a repentant Peter was able to see him and to hear his word and to be recommissioned into a whole new kind of life that was a ministry way beyond anything that he had ever imagined to be possible. But Judas took his life 2 days before that could have happened for him. He never lived to see it. So here's the principle that I want us to draw out in this last message in our series today. If you want to avoid a plunge to disaster, never give up hope. And maybe that's the battle for some among us right now. In ways that only you and the Lord perhaps know, you feel yourself surrounded by darkness today. You feel loaded with a sense of personal failure and guilt. And you cannot see any way out of the situation that you've got yourself in by choices you have made. And here's my question. Are you then going to be like Peter or like Judas? Because that's your choice today. To turn in on yourself and say, I wasted my life, and to be enclosed in the darkness of despair, or to look up to Christ, and to find hope, and to say, with all my sin, and with all my sorrow, and with all my stupid mistake and failure, I give my life to you. Take it. Take it like the potter would take a spoilt piece of clay and shape it now into something that could be useful for you. No matter how great the darkness, there is always hope in Jesus Christ. Let me make it specific in 2 ways. Number one, you're never too bad. See, some of us will be thinking right now, is Colin suggesting that, Judas could have been forgiven? Of course. Of course. Christ died for sinners. Now, what we do is we take a few sins and we put them in a special category and we mark them unforgivable. That's what we do with Judas' sin. In the back of our mind somewhere, we think, oh, well, of course, what he did would be beyond, beyond. And then by the same logic, we take a few things in our lives. And we say, well, we know we hear about forgiveness every Sunday from the pulpit, and that's a marvelous thing. But of course, if it was known what I had done, no, not even Christ could forgive that. That's what you think. You don't know the Jesus of the Bible, and oh, that you would meet him. If only Judas, instead of going out to that field, could have come somewhere near the cross, and in an agony he would have seen Jesus nailed. And I don't know how he would have been able to stand there and watch that cross being raised. But if he had, he would have heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. He was ready to forgive brutal thugs who nailed him. He was ready to forgive a blaspheming pastor who denied him. That's how I'm describing Peter. He would have been ready to forgive Judas for betraying him. And he is ready to forgive you for whatever you have done if you will come to him. And that's the tragedy of a Judas, you see, that he just curls up in despair and says, well, there's no hope even in Jesus for me. You're never too bad. You know, one of the reasons that we have so much talk about false guilt today, one of the reasons that we're never done hearing about denial today, is that in our culture we have no idea how to deal with real guilt, because we've lost touch with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ is ready to forgive all who will come to him in repentance and put their hope in him. If you want to avoid a plunge to disaster, never give up hope. The cross is big enough to cover your sin. The blood of Jesus is rich enough to cleanse your guilt. The love of Jesus is strong enough to reach you no matter how far you have gone from him. Believe in him, come to him, and put your hope in him. There's not a reason in the world for one person to go out of these doors in despair today. The very last thing is this: it's never too late. You see, the enemy of our soul spins two powerful lies that must have been running in the mind of Judas. One is, what you've done is too bad to be forgiven, and the other is, now you have gone to a point where it's too late to turn to Christ. Jesus will be crucified, Judas must have thought. There's nothing I can do about it now. My opportunity is gone. Let me say this specific word of application in these last moments to older people, and perhaps to some who may have a terminal illness, for some who may know that this is the last chapter of your life, perhaps some who may even hear this message by tape in a hospital bed, and you may know it is the last days of your life. And you feel that the die is cast. You feel that it's too late. You feel, well, now what will be, will be. Come with me to the cross. Jesus is dying. Can you try and picture this? And beside him on another cross is a thief. And he's dying too. And it's the 59th minute of the 11th hour of his life, but he sees his need and he believes in Jesus and he asks Christ to save him. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, he says to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. The Lord Jesus Christ died to save you. He stands ready to welcome you at any point in life. He calls you to believe in him. He invites you right now to put your trust in his death for you. He offers you everlasting life. Believe in him, trust him, turn to him. Ask him to save you. There is hope in Jesus Christ. It is never in this life too late. Don't say to yourself, I've lived 60, 70, 80 years without Christ, it's too late for me now. Come to him now. Put your hope in him. There's a lovely story with which we end the series. We called it Deck Chairs on the Titanic. We haven't said a whole lot about the Titanic. I just wanted to use that picture because it's such a powerful picture of us moving along in our little lives and not really realizing the awesome things that lie ahead of us. But let me tell you a true story from the Titanic. There was a pastor on the Titanic whose name was John Harper. Scottish pastor from Glasgow. The church where he ministered is now called Harper Memorial Church. I preached there on several occasions. John Harper was traveling to speak at some meetings here in Chicago at the Moody Memorial Church. And in fact, there is a hall in Moody Church that to this day is named Harper Hall, in memory of John Harper, who died in the tragedy of the Titanic. When the Titanic went down, John Harper spent his last moments in these icy waters urging people to put their trust in Jesus Christ. At one point, he found a man clinging to a board, and he clung to this board alongside him for a few moments. And Harper said to this man, "Are you saved?" And the man said, "No." And Harper said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Harper then apparently went and began to swim towards some others and spoke to them in the same way. And after some time, he came back to this man, still clinging to this piece of wood. And he said to him, "Are you saved?" And the man said, "No. Why aren't you trusting Christ? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." A few moments later, Harper lost his strength and went down to his death in these icy waters. You say, how do we know this story? Because a short time later, a man stood up in a church in Canada and he told it. And he said, "I am John Harper's last convert. It's never too late for you to find hope in Jesus."
What a powerful way for us to wrap up today's message and this series with the story of Harper's last convert, and a great reminder that we should never give up hope. In fact, that's the title of today's message, which is part of a larger series called Deck Chairs in the Titanic, How to Avoid a Plunge to Disaster. Well, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. That's exactly what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Collins' teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you, as our way of saying thanks, a copy of a book written by A.W. Tozer. It's called The Pursuit of God. And Colin, who would you say that this book is written for?
Oh, it's really for anyone who wants to know more of God. It really is. Anyone who has a real hunger and thirst in their own soul. And really, Tozer confronts us with this question. You know, how could it be that a person who claims to be a Christian actually doesn't have a hunger and thirst for God? How could that possibly be? I mean, to know God is to love Him, and to come into a living relationship with Him is to want to know Him more. I mean, it's like a kind of wonderful cycle. The more you come to know of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you want to know of Him. And Tozer really captures that. He has prayers at the end of each chapter in this gem of a little book, and he prays like this, you know, I'm thirsty, but I want to be more thirsty. I have a longing for You, God, but I'm ashamed that I don't long for You more. What I find in reading this book, and I've gone back to it time and again, Steve, is that it ignites in a fresh way a passion and a flame and a love for the Lord. It's renewing. And that's one of the reasons why my copy of this book is so well thumbed and so well. Oh, it's well worn and it's well marked up. And I will keep going back to it. And that's one of the reasons I'm thrilled to be able to offer it this month. This is a gem of a book, and you will come back to it often, and it will do you good.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book from A.W. Tozer. Again, it's called The Pursuit of God, our gift to you, our way of saying thanks for your financial support. Give online at unlockingthebible.org or over the phone when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That phone number is 1-866-865-6253. And again, our website is unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. How can you do more than just say you're a Christian? How can you prove that you're a Christian? Find out what Jesus says next time on Unlocking the Bible.